Now, my old friend, Tom Kiley's on the line from New York. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back and devoting some more time to this. It's hard to get all the points covered.
I know that, but I must tell you that your appearance last night has set the heather on fire, as we say here. It has generated a tremendous amount of interest and many compliments. So I'm glad that you've come back. I'm going to do it slightly differently tonight. I'd like you to take 5 minutes or so to just make a general case, Tom, in the way that you did to me sitting on that stoop on the sidewalk in New York City.
Well, I'd be happy to. Let me try to encapsulate then. There, as you pointed out before, there are so many anomalies, freaky coincidences in the official story at number one. Number two, no one's ever really been brought to justice. As far as I know, George, our FBI doesn't even have Osama bin Laden as one of its top 10 wanted people for this crime. He's not been charged with it by the FBI, as far as I know. Okay, of 9/11, September 2001. We can go on and on. Then even the official story, which in itself is a conspiracy theory. Okay, we know that there were more than one person involved. There was more than one person involved. And they did it in secret. That's by definition a conspiracy. But we've never really gotten to the bottom. We've got the 9/11 Commission report, which the Bush administration fought. It did not want any commission reporting on it. It was forced out of a political embarrassment to put this very poorly constructed report together by the women that we refer to as the Jersey Girls, the women who live across the river from me in New Jersey whose husbands were killed that day, and they shamed the White House. They went down to the Capitol and demanded a report, demanded an investigation, and it was only then that a bipartisan commission was put together. But in fact, it wasn't truly bipartisan because it was headed by a Republican, the same party as George Bush. And on top of that, a White House operative named Mr. Zelikow was in charge of steering the investigation. All matters had to go through him and so forth. And finally, as I told you yesterday, the report itself, by rules, had to be a consensus of everybody on board. So a single person dissenting on one piece of information meant that it would not make it into the final report. Let's talk about the final report to get specific. For instance, there was evidence, physical evidence, at the Pentagon, something I didn't speak much about yesterday, that purportedly American Flight 77, a jetliner, struck the Pentagon coming in at a certain direction, and there was physical evidence that there were light poles that were struck down by the wings of the aircraft right before it crashed in. This is what the 9/11 Commission was shown. And this is what they reported on. However, in our country, we have something that's called the Freedom of Information Act, which means that a citizen or an organization can petition the government to see documents. And this has been employed to get more information about what actually happened at the Pentagon on at least two major instances that I know of. One, to see videotape of this event happening. Now, I ask you listeners to close their eyes and imagine for a moment the video that they've seen repeatedly from so many different angles and directions of the aircraft striking the south tower of the World Trade Center and the explosion and so forth. It was played over and over and over again. Now I ask your same listeners to, in their mind's eye, look at the videotape of the jetliner striking the Pentagon. And it is not there because it's never been seen by us. Now, I submit to you, George, that the Pentagon is one of the most secure buildings on the face of the earth. When I go to my ATM machine to get some cash out of my bank account, I look around and I see multiple video cameras pointed at me for security purposes. Logic tells us that there must be dozens, if not hundreds, or maybe even thousands of video cameras on the premises of the Pentagon, not only outside, but inside, in the hallways and so forth. Yet to this day, none of us has ever seen any video of a jetliner striking the Pentagon. Doesn't that sound a bit odd? If they had such video in their possession, wouldn't they have used it in the run-up to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as has been used so many times, the video footage. So an organization called Judicial Watch, a conservative judicial watch, a legal organization, requested copies of these videos from the Pentagon under the Freedom of Information Act. And the Pentagon reluctantly released 5 frames from a parking lot surveillance camera, and these 5 frames are very inconclusive, if you ask me. They show what looks like a white streak going straight across the lawn, horizontally, to the Pentagon. And you can see these on YouTube, friends. Go ahead and go and look it up on YouTube. Look at the Pentagon video and so forth. And what you see is 1, 2, 3, bang. 1, 2, 3, 4, bang. 1, 2, 3, 4, bang. You see an explosion. It certainly doesn't look like a jetliner. But what it does look like is something streaking perfectly level at a low distance across the lawn. Well, there's another organization I spoke yesterday of a professional organization called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, who feel that their profession has been defamed by the notion that they design poorly constructed buildings that are just going to fall down from a fire and or a crash in this case. There's another group who are pilots, called Pilots for 9/11 Truth, and they also feel that their profession has been defamed by the notion that these hijackers could fly these very complicated aircraft, and in some cases in very complicated maneuvers, and in 3 cases to their targets.
And well, we'll come back to that. Take a breath, Tom, while I take a pause for some capitalist messages. 087-17-22-3344. You want to put a question to Tom Kiley? Tom is just sketching his basic case that the official story over 9/11 cannot be trusted and will have to be further investigated. Tom, you got as far as the Pilots for 9/11 Truth, making the point that for people who'd only just checked into flying school a few months before, these pilots did, as George Bush might have put it, a hell of a job in finding the targets that they had set themselves. Tell us, as you told me, about the failures of the military response once these airplanes had been hijacked.
I sure will, if you'll just allow me very quickly to finish up the point just before the break. And that is, in a second petitioning to the government, the Pilots for 9/11 Truth asked the government for the flight data recorder from this flight, which they got. And it shows a flight path that is inconsistent with the official 9/11 report, okay, which puts the plane in a different place, therefore incapable of knocking over the lamppost, number one. Number two, it shows the jet in a steep dive in its final moments into the crash. Well, that contradicts the Pentagon's horizontal streak across the lawn. So we have our own government contradicting itself on multiple instances on the Pentagon, at least, and on many other cases. Now, having said that, where was the United States military on September the 11th as these jetliners were allowed to fly unmolested for over an hour around the northeastern United States? Where were they? Well, Andrews Air Force Base, maybe your listeners may be familiar, is the closest Air Force Base to Washington, D.C. It's where the President of the United States takes off from on Air Force One and lands into when he's returning from trips and so forth. That is less than 2 minutes supersonic fighter jet time away from the Pentagon. And these aircraft were being tracked on radar, and yet none of these jets were scrambled to cover the Pentagon. There's an Air National Guard wing there at the Pentagon, and on their website they stated proudly that their job was to defend the skies of the nation's capital. Well, guess what? That was scrubbed off of their website after September 11th, that phraseology. No longer to be seen. Where was our military?
And was any military officer ever punished for the failure to respond?
And this is a very important point. Military or civilian people in charge of our defense that day, to my knowledge, and I've asked this question at numerous forums on the subject, no one, to my knowledge, has been reprimanded, demoted, fired, needless to say, put in front of a firing squad, any such thing. Nobody has been brought to task for this colossal, colossal failure. Why is that? Why would that be? Could it possibly be because if such investigations were initiated, it may turn out that these people were perhaps following orders to stand down, that these people were in fact not responsible because they were told not to do their job that day?
Well, let me ask you a series of questions.
Please.
Let me, chip in if you think it's important to answer one before I go on to the next. But
okay.
Otherwise, let me adumbrate the general problem I have with your position. It's clear that several airliners were hijacked. Otherwise, the entire air traffic control system and all the skilled men and women, dedicated men and women that work in it, would have to be pathological liars and part of a gigantic right-wing conspiracy, and I don't believe that. So it's clear that aircraft were hijacked, and it's clear that a large number of civilian people who were booked onto those aircraft and had boarded those aircraft did die on 9/11. It's also true that 19 Islamists, fundamentalists, followers of the worldview of Osama bin Laden, formerly, and I'll come back to this, an employee of the United States government, sent to Afghanistan by the government of Saudi Arabia, the United States' closest ally in the Arab world, and given all the arms and all the money that he needed, along with his fellows, to mount a so-called holy war in Afghanistan. But that 19 followers of the mindset of Osama bin Laden did check in to flying schools and did take flying lessons, and all 19 of them did check in on board those aircraft. So we've got a set of dead civilian people who are definitely dead. We've got 19 Islamists who definitely were on the planes and definitely did check into flying school. And we've got the fact that everyone in the world, everyone probably in the entire world, has seen those aircraft smashing into those buildings. And so it didn't come as a terrific surprise to people that, given the impact of those two aircraft smashing into these buildings, that a huge loss of life was sustained. Where I think you're on stronger ground is that it's very hard to see scientifically why both of the towers fell down in the way that they did, and it's practically impossible for me to see how Building 7 could have fallen down in the way that it did. It's deeply suspicious that the United States Air Force did not intervene when an airplane that had been hijacked for fully 60 minutes was heading towards the Pentagon, and it's suspicious that there is no footage ever been shown, or, for as far as I know, any voice recordings from the cockpit, because, of course, the speech and the decisions, flying decisions, the aviation decisions of the hijackers would be picked up in the black box, too. These things are undoubtedly suspicious. The failure of the Bush administration to properly investigate it, maybe for self-serving reasons, because it would have shown them to be monumentally incompetent, but maybe something even more sinister than that, is another argument that I think is beginning to be established. My issue with you, as I said to you, I don't for one second believe that these crazed neocons that were ready to kill a million people in Iraq would not be capable of killing their own people morally. And we have a long history from going back to the JFK assassination and other many other stories that the United States, the state of your country, and indeed the state of other countries, including our own, has been ready to, as it were, commit false flag operations to score own goals in order to achieve a wider political objective. It's not that I believe that the Bushites would not be morally capable of such a gigantic, Everestian, sinister, evil, wicked crime. It's that the number of people who'd have to be in on the alternative, that it's almost impossible, inconceivable to me, that we would not have had one leak, one whistleblower, one person coming forward by now to tell us, do you know what? Everything you've been told was a lie, and here's what I was told to do as part of that conspiracy. The floor's yours, Tom.
Well, a few things. First of all, I totally agree with you. Aircraft were hijacked that day. And I'm told that it was by these 19 Islamists. I have no, you know, I can accept that fine, you know. However, you know, if we want to stray from the facts, which you seem to be tugging me in a direction to do, I mean, the facts alone, you mentioned before, it's been definitively found by peer review scientific group now that nanothermite, unexploded nanothermite, has been found in the dust of September 11th here in New York City. Nanothermite, for those who don't know, it is highly explosive, and it reaches intense temperature very quickly, and it cuts through steel like a hot knife through butter. And I would suggest that your listeners, if they're not familiar, go back to YouTube and search for thermite and 9/11, and you will be shocked when you see just how quickly this stuff cuts through steel. And by the way, formulations of thermite do not make loud explosions when they work, which is one of the criteria that the official investigation said it couldn't be a demolition because we didn't hear loud explosions. Well, there were plenty of explosions that day, but you don't necessarily need explosions to cut through the steel to bring down a building. Now, having said all of that, all right, let's theorize, because you're pulling me in the direction of theorizing, and I'm happy to do that as long as we all understand that that's exactly what I'm doing. I am theorizing, okay? Now, it's a known tactic for centuries, thousands of years perhaps, that, you know, if you want to win a war, sometimes the best way is to do it is without firing a shot. If you want to sway a population, if you need to generate a casus belli, as the Romans used to call it, okay, there are many different ways to do that. You mentioned the term false flag. I dare say much of the British Empire might have been built using such operations to convince the public that they need to go in certain directions or so forth. And I don't think that there has been any magic that's happened to the human race that has suddenly made our generation of human beings immune from the temptation to use such things. An analogy in this case is the Reichstag fire that Adolf Hitler used to consolidate his power, blame it on the communists, and become the dictator of Germany. Okay, a false flag operation. But having said that, we have extremely sophisticated intelligence operations around the world. Your country, not the least of which. And let's not forget, we're talking centuries of managing empire. Centuries of, that's a technology, my friends, okay? That is a hidden technology to manage empires, to get people looking the wrong way, to get groups to fight against each other, to divide and conquer and so forth, and employing all kinds of tactics to do that. There are centuries of history about this sort of thing.
And your own country tried to implicate Cuba in a false flag operation.
Absolutely. And using, believe it or not, the Pentagon was tasked with coming up with a casus belli in 1960 for us to invade Cuba, to turn public opinion against Cuba that would support an invasion. And guess what? Guess what they suggested, among other things? They suggested a drone-controlled jet airliner, ostensibly loaded with college students, that we ourselves would blow up after it had overflown Cuba, when it was again over the Caribbean. And the outrage from that act, they felt confident, would allow the military to invade Cuba. Now, let me repeat. And you can find this, by the way, on the Internet, friends. Go and look up Operation North Woods in Google. Operation North Woods, and you will see, formerly top secret in the National Security Archive of this country, plans to fool the world into a reason why the United States should attack Cuba. And it...
Tom, let's take another break for some necessary messages. Now, Tom Kiley, I'm going to have to let some of the listeners in, because otherwise you'll need to come back here again next week, because the switchboard has never been more full. Let's hear quickly from Guy in Stoke-on-Trent. Go ahead, Guy.
Yeah, hi, George.
Hi, mate.
Yeah, your man Tom's right on the money, I'm afraid. It makes you feel... It makes me feel a bit sick, but, quick question. If the American government are aware that people are accusing them and are writing stuff about them, which is accusing them of being part of murder, why don't they go to the court for libel?
Well, governments generally don't. That wouldn't be a persuasive point for me, I'm afraid. Let's go to Ray in Orpington.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I was in France a couple of years ago, and I was with an American news editor, and we were having dinner with a world expert on concrete who's written books on it, and he was positing the same thing, that the buildings had in some way been blown up from within, that it was impossible for them to fall. But what he couldn't answer, and it seems to me there are four absolute factors that torpedo this argument, and he wasn't able to answer this at all. For the first of all, who flew the plane? I can understand Islamic fundamentalists, you know, dying for Allah and attacking the West, but you're asking us to believe that presumably the CIA has suborned people into sacrificing their lives as part of a plot?
I'm certainly not. I believe the planes were flown by the hijackers.
Yeah. So that's one point. Who actually flew the planes? Who were they working for? The second point is who had most to gain. Now, I know the argument about, it allowed America to take control of Iraqi and Afghan oil. But it was about the most humiliating thing that has ever happened to America. If you look at George Bush, is he a great actor when he was sitting there reading the children's book upside down?
Well, fair point, Ray. But he was, of course, re-elected. And we mustn't forget that. The big question for me, and I'm saving this up for my last point, but I'll make it now. Who is Osama bin Laden working for? I believe this was done by supporters of Osama bin Laden, but who is Osama bin Laden working for? Which part of the phrase Osama bin Laden, US agent, comes as a surprise to you? Because that's how he started life in public in the world. He was a US agent. Here's Gareth in Sheffield. Go ahead, Gareth.
Hi, George. I'd like to ask Tom a question. I put it to you about a year ago, and you sort of were a little bit dismissive of it at the time, but I'll mention it again. When the planes struck the South Tower, it was reported widely on American news that America undoubtedly was under attack, simply because it was a second plane. You know, it wasn't obviously an accident at that point. And I can't, for the life of me, understand, if you were a citizen of Washington, D.C. at that time, being told that New York City was under attack and that America was under attack, why there's never been any private individual who had a camera trained on the sky, a camcorder trained on the sky, who would not have caught any jet airliner coming in towards the Pentagon.
Okay, Gareth, thanks for that. I've got a lot of people on. Here's Adrian in Luton. Go ahead, Adrian.
Oh, hi, George. Nice to see you.
And you, sir.
George, just a point about the Building 7. I mean, the thing about the Building 7, that the owners or, you know, the insurers have admitted on CNN that they pulled the building because the first couple of floors caught flies. I mean, that's on YouTube as well, you know, that they've actually said they pulled the building down. So there shouldn't be any controversial issues about Building 7.
Should not be? No. It takes months to wire a building to pull it down,
well,
my friend.
Yeah, but Tom, they've admitted it on CNN. You can check that out on YouTube. It's actually CNN.
And the same man said that we misinterpreted when he said pull. The owner of the building, Larry Silverstein, says he meant pull the firefighters out of the building. He did not mean to pull it down.
Yeah, but...
Okay, sorry, Adrian. There's so many people, I can't keep people on for long. Go ahead, Gareth, in Leeds.
Yeah, George, parallel... point. It is Building 7. Larry Silverstein came on and said that we had to pull the building. Now, if you're a Fred Dibner, and I don't know if Tom knows Fred Dibner, but he's a demolition expert, and you can see that the building was detonated. Now, imagine yourself in New York with two Twin Towers collapsing. Where are you going to get a detonation firm from to come and wire a building? As Tom says, it takes days. So there is a building that was prepared for demolition, and it came down on the date of 7/11 in tandem. Now, how many conspiracies have we got going on this day? Why do they want to connect them? If we're going to demolish the building, demolish it, fine. But why are they connecting them with the Twin Towers?
Okay, Gareth, here's Michael in Ilford. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Three quick questions. Why was the put options on the airlines the day before, the week before, not followed up by the airlines that crashed into the towers?
Just explain what you mean by put options.
Well, lots of money was made on the put options that the shares would fall on the airlines that crashed into the towers. It was never followed
That's
up.
Absolutely correct, and it's never been identified who won those bets, who knew in advance to put those bets. It was statistically an anomaly. It could not have been a normal situation.
Yeah, and secondly,
go ahead, Michael.
And secondly, why did the government say that Flight 93 crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, when it didn't?
Well, how do you know it didn't? Where did it crash?
Well, you can look at Flight 93. You can look at the CNN helicopter overhead in the field, and there's a hole in the ground. And the coroner turned up and said, well, there's nothing for me to do here. There's no bodies. There was no bodies. There was no plane.
So the people who telephoned their relatives as the plane was when the plane was low enough to tell people that they were hurtling apparently to their death because there were men had hijacked the plane, what, were they lying?
Well, it was obviously shot down, but it didn't crash into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. You can look on YouTube.
No, that's a fair point, Michael. That's a fair point. As long as we're not seeing that the plane didn't exist. Anyway, quickly, your third point.
Yeah, the third point is, can you ask Tom how many bodies were actually found and identified from the four flights by the relatives?
Okay, thanks for that. Here's Diane in North Finchley. Go ahead, Diane.
Hello, George.
Hi.
It is not clear that the aircraft were hijacked on 9/11. The Muslims involved could have been recruited to work for the CIA as agents. They could have been told that as part of their training they were to have experience of co-piloting 747s. The CIA would then tell air traffic control and the passengers that the planes had been hijacked. And the voice messages that we heard seems to confirm this. The CIA could then have taken over from the ground and flown them into the buildings.
I'm sorry, Diane. I know that you're a yogic flyer yourself, but that's yogic flying to the absurd degree. Here's Alan in Swansea.
Hello, George.
Hi there.
The gentleman was just talking about the Pentagon, and it seems very, very strange there that the aircraft of that size left such a small hole. There was a huge fire, and yet they couldn't find the engines, which are massive. And also, after that then, of course, what did they do? They covered the ground with gravel and earth, which hides any source of anything that's around the place. And there was a NORAD exercise on that day. And the person actually in charge of that on the same day as 9/11 was Dick Cheney, and he was in charge of all the NORAD orders.
What's NORAD? What are you talking about?
It's the defense.
North American Air Defense Command.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. And
well, what do you mean he was in charge? You mean Dick Cheney, that portly fellow,
yes,
who was the vice president? He was sitting in charge of an air exercise.
That's correct.
Well, how could he be? I mean, these are things that are done by military officers.
No, not on that day they weren't, George. It was Dick Cheney.
Not only that, but there's testimony from the Secretary of Transportation, who was with Dick Cheney, and an orderly came in and said, sir, the aircraft is now 50 miles out. Does the order still stand? And he said, he snares at him, yes, it does. And it got closer and closer and closer. That could have been an aircraft that was part of the exercise that overflew the Pentagon, making people think it was an airliner, and while at the same time a missile from a lower level went and struck it at the same time it was flying over. I don't know, that's just the theory. But
okay.
May I answer some of these
questions? Well, no, I want to take two more quickly. Here's Danny and Ealing. Go ahead, Danny.
Hi, George. I just wanted to answer that gentleman's question earlier on about why would the CIA...
Sorry?
Why the CIA would... why these Islamic fundamentalists would sacrifice their life for the CIA? Basically, how about if they didn't know that they were working for
the
CIA?
Well, that's right. Everybody doesn't always know who they're working for. And lastly and quickly, Ozzy in rugby. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Hello, George.
Hi, mate.
Please don't cut me off, George.
I will have to cut you off, so you'll need to be really quick or I'll have to cut you off.
First of all, George, I'd like to say I agree with the gentleman in America. And the thing about it is, George, we don't all know everything. You're a clever guy, but you don't know everything.
No, that's right. I'm a clever guy, and I don't know everything. And none of us know everything. That's why we need to investigate this a whole lot more. I'm going to bring back Tom just in a minute after this. Let's go back to Tom, Kylie, in New York. Tom, please, deal with all these points.
I'll deal with as many as I can remember, but certainly, who flew the airplanes, okay? Well, it is certainly theoretically possible that these Al-Qaeda people were recruited believing that they were to hijack an aircraft, maybe not even to crash it, but to hijack one and have it land someplace, whatever. But it is certainly technologically possible to pilot such an aircraft from a remote location, from the ground. That technology has been around since the Second World War in one form or another, and it's much more advanced now. In fact, you could even, I would imagine, place a homing beacon inside the World Trade Center and ensure that despite the fact that these guys didn't have any training, the plane would strike exactly the floor that you wanted it to strike. Okay, that technology has been around all along. Now, if that was employed, that certainly solves the problem that these hijackers were not very good pilots. They didn't have to be pilots. They had to be there to make us believe that this is what happened. But it's also quite possible that there was several operations going on at the same time that could have been insulated from each other. They may have not known anything else about anything coming down, or maybe they didn't even know they were to crash the planes at all. Right? Okay, so that's one thing. The question about bodies, to my knowledge, there have not been any bodies found, but there are certainly contradictions about these bodies, all right? For instance, I'll give you one example. There is an almost total lack of evidence of a jetliner, or an aircraft for that matter, striking the Pentagon. No physical evidence. We're told, because, get this, I hope you're sitting down, that the aircraft, quote-unquote, vaporized on contact. Okay, but the Pentagon also tells us that they were able to collect DNA samples from body parts to confirm that all the passengers were there. Well, how do you have steel and aluminum vaporizing and human flesh not? Okay, for instance. So I don't know that body parts have been found, but I've been told that DNA has been recovered to prove that these people were there. Okay, what else? I mean, again, go to the Internet and search for Operation Northwoods. You will see a U.S. Defense Department top secret plan that involved a drone-controlled commercial airliner in 1960, and filled, by the way, with people who were in on the plot. Actually, they had two planes in their plan. One took off with people in it, that were actually agents posing as college students, and another drone-controlled, identically marked airliner that took off. These planes were to rendezvous in the sky, and the one with the people was to return to base, disgorge the people, and the drone-controlled one was to be exploded after having flown over Cuba. I am not making this up. This is fact, part of the National Security Archives of the United States. You can see it yourself on the Internet.
Deal with this question of Building 7, if you would.
Sure.
The point that was made that the owner said that he decided to pull it down.
That remark is interpreted, okay, as a slip of the tongue, that he knew that there was going to be a demolition, that the building had been wired for demolition, and he had a Freudian slip and said, we decided to pull it. Pull it is a term in the demolition business, which means we're ready to pull the building down. Okay? He's been challenged on this point, and his response was, no, I did not mean that whatsoever. I meant we should pull the firefighters from the building. You can see him saying this on the YouTube. Okay? But in any case, if the building, let's just say he did want to demolish the building, you can't do that in a matter of hours. It needs to be set up in advance. And by the way, George, on this point, for the first time in history, three steel skyscrapers came down due to office fires, or due to office fires in the case of Building 7, due to the fires from the jets. Let me ask you, George, why do we have a demolition industry on Earth when all we need to do is set fires? Office fires in our skyscrapers, and they'll come down perfectly, neatly, at free fall speed, just as if you'd spent millions of dollars and months of time to very, very carefully plan the same event to happen.
Well, these are fair points. Let's take another couple of calls. Here's Steve in Brighton. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, George. Yes, originally I was going to speak to you about the remote control of the aircraft. It's worth noting that amongst the passengers of the hijacked aircraft, well, a considerable number of employees of Raytheon. They were spread around the various aircraft. Raytheon is a company which has a huge amount of expertise in the remote control of airliners in particular.
So what, Raytheon sent a considerable number of their employees to their deaths as part of a conspiracy?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, please. David in Birmingham. Go ahead, David.
Oh, hi there, George. I'm part of a group of people who've been looking at various different pieces of the evidence. And we've found errors in enough of the information, the actual evidence that was used in Zacharias Moussaoui's trial. And I was wondering if you knew for a fact whether or not he was actually trying to, get off of what he was convicted for, because we've found enough problems that should be technically provable in court with the evidence that the CIA used against him. And I was wondering if you knew whether he'd be interested in actually getting off, or if he's some kind of professional patsy for the US government.
Well, let's ask Brendan in North Lanarkshire, then Tom will answer that. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hi there, George. It's slightly different, but it's the exact same theme. But 40 years before John F. Kennedy had actually gave a statement, and it was everything that actually happened on 9/11. And he was talking about the Pentagon when he says it's a system that has conspired vast human material resources into a building of a tightly highly efficient machine. It combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No rumour is printed. No secret is revealed. And that basically tells you everything, you know, what happened.
Well, I don't think it does, but it's an interesting point nonetheless. Tom, give us your thoughts on those calls.
Well, again,
Ibrahim Moussaoui,
I haven't looked into his case specifically. He's purported to be the 20th hijacker, and for some reason he didn't make it on board. But again, I don't believe the buildings could have come down from being struck by jetliners, and certainly Building 7 wasn't struck by anything. I believe that the buildings could have been were wired to come down, and the jetliners striking them were a pretext that most of us who are uninitiated in engineering could then accept that. I think it was important as a psychological operation by whoever planned it, I'll call them the plotters, okay, that it was necessary for us to see icons of our world crumble before our eyes, okay? And if they just pushed the button and it came down, A, maybe nobody would have been watching and nobody would have had it on videotape, but B, more importantly, it would be clear to everyone that these buildings had been wired in advance, okay, which would then point to a much larger conspiracy. Hence, you need the aircraft striking them. Perhaps another aircraft was supposed to hit Building 7. That's a possibility. Perhaps not all the aircraft even took off that day because they grounded aircraft, okay? And once the plot started happening, aircraft were grounded. There could have been other aircraft involved that were delayed and hence never took off. Maybe Building 7 was wired to be struck by yet another plane. And once there was no plane, the jig was up and they had to get rid of the evidence by pulling the building down. I don't know.
Tom Kiley in New York City, lots of questions and definitely the need for more investigation. 087172233 is the telephone number of Mike Graham, who's up after me.